Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Fellowship Lunch. Big thank you to the Doe Girls and Al, just to make it make sense. For a wonderful meal. I've already got a couple compliments. They were like, this is good. So thank you very much. Give them a hand. They always do such a good job. Who watched the race this week? Who didn't think we were going to pull it off? Don't you be lying now. Be honest. Who thought that he was going to catch us? That's right. You don't raise your hand. One person, right? Give yourself another hand for winning a race in dominant fashion, right? It's always good when we win, right? Because it brings a blessing. We're grateful that we get to be in a place where we even have the opportunity to win. But to do it like we did this past weekend was pretty dang good. So hopefully we double dip this week, right? We got Xfinity and Cup, so hopefully we win both of those. As we continue in this series, before we get going, I'm going to do a prayer. We do want to, as many of you know, Miss Sarah's daughter went to be with the Lord on Saturday. And so, Miss Sarah, we just want you to know that we see you and that we grieve with you. But as me and you have spoken, we celebrate with you because your daughter knew the Lord. And so she has been healed from that cancer, but we just want you to know we're here to support you and be with you through this as we go through until her service is. So we just wanted you to know that. So be praying for William, that was Cynthia's husband, and there's some children there. And of course, Miss Sarah, continue to lift up our company as we navigate through a long season. We're only on race, four? Think about also Mason Cooper, who's Todd works up in the 5-9 shop, who is navigating cancer at the young age of 17. And so we still want to lift him up and pray for continued healing. And then there's a few unspokens out there that we want to lift up as well for people dealing with different issues in their life. And we just want to bring all that to the attention of the Lord before we get started. So let me pray for us. God, we are grateful that what we have you to turn to, that we have someone that we can put our hope and trust in. We know, God, Lord, we live in a world that can seem very confused, especially nowadays, Lord. But we know, Lord, that you've not left us, you've not forsaken us, that your promises are still true. And so, God, we're going to rest on those. We're going to trust those. We're going to believe those. And so, God, we do lift up Miss Sarah and her family, and we pray over the passing of Cynthia, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that they can have a service that recognizes the goodness of God, Lord, and what he's done for her. We pray, God, Lord, just for this company and travel this week out west and an opportunity to continue to do great things and be blessed. And so we ask for your protection over all of our teammates that travel. We pray for a safe return. We continue to pray for the leadership of this company, for Mr. Hendrick and Linda and all the way down, all the leaders. We pray that you give them wisdom, protect them, protect their families. And we just pray for your continued blessings on this place. And so, God, as we look at your word, we pray, God, Lord, that we would understand today what it really means to be part of a family. We know it's important to this place, but it's important mostly to you. So we pray this time over your word In Christ's name we pray, amen. And so we've looked at this, we're in this new series, if you're new, Faith, Family, and Friends. Last week, we looked at faith, and what does that look like for us? We know that we believe as believers in a position of faith, but not a faith with no hope. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith in the Word of God and God's promises. And this week, we're going to look at the family. Think about your family. Maybe you're from a small family, a big family. Maybe you don't even have a family of your own started yet. But what does that really look like? And what's the intention of that? Why did God even create a family? Why is that there? And so we all obviously come from a family. We're going to look at that and see how that looks, especially according to the way God sees it. But the verse for today, Genesis 2:24, we know in Genesis 1, God's created. We get to Genesis 2, he's creating humans, and he says this, "For this reason," he's already created man, "for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We see right there after the creation, man and woman, that God has already set up a plan to create the family, the beginning of what humanity is to be on earth. And so we're going to look at how life started with the family. I know God created the heavens and the earth and the oceans and livestock and all these other things, but there's something unique about the family that's different than those things. And we know that life itself, as we know it as humans, starts with the family. And so listen to this verse in Genesis 1:27 and 28, after he's created man. Listen to this. "So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over," which is to dominate, "the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." We see this word here, subjugate, that's actually means to bring under control. And so God's created man and woman. And the uniqueness about us as humans is we're the only part of God's creation that has been created in his image, in the image of God. And so what does that look like for us? Well, God creates and he wants us to do what? He wants us to multiply. He wants us to rule over his creation. So man and woman were created in the image of God, meaning this, that humanity serves as a mirror. We serve as a mirror of who God is. Not only that, that we show the nature of God. That's what we're called to do. And so when man and woman are created, that was the intent. All things were good. We know when we read in Genesis 3, that gets messed up a little bit through sin. But God gave them authority to do what? Rule over everything. To rule over everything. We've been given the authority to rule over all of God's creation. And then there were these created beings, they were to procreate, which is to create life and start a family. Right then. That is the beginning, right? We see in Genesis 2, as the verse for today, they become man and woman become together in one flesh. We see that as the beginning of marriage. And the family has started. And then listen to this. What is the family? Well, all the descendants of a common ancestor. Have you ever been on Ancestry.com? Anybody here? You ever done that? My wife's really into that. And there was a time where we would get on there and you follow your ancestry and you get family and friends. And they do a great job on Ancestry.com. And you can follow it back like hundreds of years and find out people that you're related to. So if you've never done that, you should check it out. And it'll show you the family tree where there's all these blood connections. And we follow it. My wife is related to Booker T. Washington. Believe it or not, comes through that family tree. And as you do that, you see that family's more than just think of your family living in your house. Like, it's when you think of your ancestry, it goes so far back, way back, that you see all of these people that, believe it or not, have paved the way for where you are today through their family tree. And so we know that life starts with the family, right? There's a family tree. We're called to multiply. Part of showing or mirroring God's order, His design, is that we're supposed to do what? Show love and compassion and justice and creativity. So we know that the family is super important to God. But think of this, family comes from what? Man and woman. That's the only way family continues on. Have you ever, if someone walked up to you and asked, what is a man or what is a woman, what would you say? Listen to this here. So what is a man? Well, a man is an adult male from X chromosome. That is DNA that determines the sex or gender of a human. And they come from a mother. The X comes from the mother. And the Y chromosome from the father. Man has certain anatomy that we know is used to create life through woman. And then the other certain features of the man include this: facial hair, smaller breast, higher testosterone, greater muscle mass, a deeper voice, broad shoulders, and increased body hair. And they are known, man in general, is known as one of strength. Why is that? Because that's the way God created man. And so we know that man is masculine, right? Masculine. What does that mean? Well, that's the quality of being a man. And we see that that means that you're one of strength, courage. There's independence there. There's one of leadership, assertiveness. A man is sexual, is more emotionally resilient, and more physical. And masculinity is not a social construct. Why do I say that? Because it's something that's designed by God for a purpose, for a true purpose. And then we see woman, this beautiful thing that God creates from the rib of man, which we read about in Genesis 2. And God creates woman because man needs a helper. And what He created was not suitable for man, so He creates woman. And here is a woman, an adult female human, which comes from X chromosomes from each parent, so two X's of DNA. And woman has certain anatomy and a reproductive system. Men do not have a reproductive system. Only women do. And a woman is able to get pregnant and give birth. And women tend to be shorter than men, less muscular and physical. And women tend to have a higher pitched voice and tend to have more compassion and understanding. Now, I know you're saying, well, hey, I know some people that maybe don't have a high pitched voice. Or maybe I know a man that's weaker. Overall, God created a man and woman specifically a certain way. And so we don't want to overly generalize here, but there's a reason God created man and woman the way He did. And so when we think of woman, a woman is feminine. What does that mean? Well, there's certain qualities of a woman. Listen to this, characteristics of a female. Women are caring, they're nurturing and supportive. They're known to be softer, delicate, and kind-hearted. Women are more emotionally intelligent. Yes, men, that is correct. Get that right. That is true. Research has proven. More emotionally intelligent and are known to be more intuitive. Women are often more persuasive and show more grace. And feminine women are more sensual. In other words, they're aware of their body more. And then being female, it's not a social construct, but it is a design from God. And so we see the beginning of family, man and woman procreate, and they start this process of what it means to be a family. And God has created a man and a woman specifically in His design for certain reasons, because it makes up the perfect family. Perfect? Well, it started perfect till we got to Genesis 3. But there's a reason that man is masculine. There is a reason that woman is feminine. They complement each other. There's a certain thing about a woman that a man needs. There's a reason God says in Genesis 2 that man needs a helper. And that's not a like a cheap word, but you men in here know 100% that are married that you need help, right? I need the help from my wife, right? In a lot of ways, in many ways. And it's not this just cheap word, helper, but it's almost, if you study it, it's like help from God. And so there are specific things about man and woman that create the family that are wonderful, that are beautiful. And why is that? Because they're created in the image of God. Both man and woman created in the image of God. And so male and female roles complement one another for the structure of the family God intended. In other words, it's part of God's order. That's why he created it that way. And not only that, life does not exist, family does not exist without male and female procreation. There is no more family without male and female procreation. That's how it started, and it's been going ever since. And so with that said, there are two types of family. There's the physical family and then the spiritual family. Now, you've probably heard this said before. You get to pick your friends, but you don't get to pick your family, right? Like, unfortunately, we're born into what we're born into. And we don't get to choose who our parents are. We don't get to choose who our siblings are, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles. It's just part of being part of a family. And it's unique. Did you know, when I was in law enforcement and we would sit in training and go through studies, you know one of the most dangerous days in America? Anybody know by any chance? Who said it? Who said Christmas? It's Christmas. You know why it's Christmas? Because families are together. Right? You don't get to pick your family, right? But there's something about when you bring people together, families, that sometimes it can get a little different, right? It can get a little tense, or maybe you got different views and ideologies and beliefs, and you always got that one aunt who's just going to send it, right? No matter who's around, or, you know, and so families are unique, right? But we can't live without them, right? And so with that said, what does that physical family look like? Well, a physical family is united by marriage, by blood, DNA, and by ancestry. That's how you can always go back and find out who you're related to, right? There is a tree, a system that we can follow. And with that said, listen to what the Bible says about the family. Paul writes about the family in Ephesians 5. When I do marital counsel, I often take couples through Ephesians 5, which is about wives and husbands. And I'm going to just briefly read this because this is important for the structure of the family. It says, I'm going to start with verse 21, Ephesians 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Think about that. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he says, 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and for which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands. And then it goes on, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, and listen, Paul quotes the Old Testament. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, Paul says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. What I like what Paul says here is how he he takes the family unit, the man and the woman who are being married and being united together in a covenant, and he is using an illustration to say, you're just like the church. Christ and his church, right? The church submits to Christ, the wife submits to her husband, but uniquely, Christ did what for the church? He died for the church. And so we husbands are called to die, not physically, but we're to die to ourselves for our wives, right? And in that, they love, we respect, it's a mutual understanding of submission. But it's the beginning of what the family is, the physical family. And then they procreate. We all know what that means, right? That's how we got here, okay? They procreate and they create these things called kids, children, right? Who has children here, right? It's the greatest thing ever happened to you. I mean, there's some days that get a little questionable, but, right? You know, you ever heard, man, when do you get to the terrible twos? Well, if you don't have a 14 or a 15 or 16 or an 18, when do you get to those? I mean, it just goes on and on, but it gets way better and it's way more fun. But there's a uniqueness about children that Paul even talks about with the family. Listen to this. And remember, we're all children in here, right? Because we have parents. Even if your parents are not living anymore or you don't even know who they are, you're still a child. Listen to this. Paul goes on in Ephesians 6, 1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you ever question your parents? And they were like, just listen to me, right? Well, God tells us, his family, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You can take this home and show your kids. Show them the word of God. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then Paul quotes one of the Ten Commandments. He says, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. You think there's some truth in that? That when you honor your parents, that he says it will go well with you and you will have long life on earth. Think of the importance of that. He goes on, fathers, this is for us men that are fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Exacerbate, the words for that, you don't make them angry. Don't provoke anger. Don't be violent with them. Don't make them bitter. Fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's a commandment to us men, us masculine men that have a wife that has a role as well in the child's life. But men, we are called to lead our children. That's not mom's job. When it comes to the spiritual life of your child, they're not waiting for mom to say, let's get up and go to church. They're not waiting for mom to lead. Our job as men in the family is to do what? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is the man's job, according to God. And so that's a heavy load for men, that we would be in charge and would lead our kids to do what? Know who the Lord is. I come from the fruit of that, a dad that understood that. And it was real simple. He was the one saying what we were doing and not doing when it came to our spiritual life. But the reason it worked is because he came from a dad that did that. And my grandfather came from a dad that did that. And so there's something about a blessing that when we honor the Lord in the family, in the role of raising up our kids. And so what does that look like when we come to something that's called the spiritual family? Believe it or not, if you're a follower of Christ in here, we're all family. I'm going to show you. Watch this. Listen to this in Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through what? Through faith. So not through blood, not through marriage, No, not through blood or marriage. We don't need to. It didn't come through procreation. It came through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Now think about that. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So those of us that are followers of Christ, we are part of a spiritual family that goes all the way back to the day of Abraham. You ever think that you're part of the family of Abraham? The chosen one that God said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. But not only that, I'm going to bring a Savior to the world through you. Now see, that was through his ancestry, right? To the Jewish nation. But because we in faith have believed in that Savior, now we're all part of a spiritual family. And that's why when people walk around in the church and go, we're family, because we are. We're all family. We're not blood family, but we're part of a spiritual family. And you often hear it said here at HMS that we're family. And what does that look like? Well, that's not in the Bible. It doesn't talk about HMS. But there is a uniqueness here about this place and this culture where you feel like you're part of a family. Right? I mean, we do things together. We spend a lot of time together. As believers, we believe together. We have a lot of the same interest in mind. We all fight together. We argue together. Right? I mean, we got a pretty good makeup of a family here, right? We don't always get along, right? But we come together when we have to come together, and we do the right things when we have to do the right things. And so there's the physical family, there's a spiritual family, but sometimes there's this family that you just, where there's love and compassion over people around you, regardless of what they believe or don't believe. And so with that said, we're called to honor the family by honoring God and his command. And we go all the way back to Exodus. Those Ten Commandments, right? Maybe you studied them when you were little in school. But listen to Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, that was a command to the people of Israel. But it still applies to us today that there's something about in the beginning of God creating the family. It starts with a man and a woman. It starts with a marriage, a covenant, a relationship, a promise. And then when they procreate and have kids, that there is to be honor given to our parents, to our mother and our father. I hope you thank them, even if you don't get along with them. You know why? Because you wouldn't be here without them. And we're called and commanded to honor your father and your mother. Why? Because we're honoring God's creation, the family. And that's what we should always be in that position. No matter how our parents have treated us, there's a mutual respect that regardless if I get along with my mother or my father, that they're my parents. And I'm called to honor them no matter what. And so as I think about that, has anybody here got the perfect family? Right? Perfect family, right? You ever see some families, you're like, they look pretty perfect. Well, I can tell you right now, I don't have the perfect family. One reason is because I'm in it. So that's one reason it's not perfect, right? But isn't it interesting how, like, you ever invited people over to your house and you're like, man, you're getting things squared away, right? And you're trying to put on this show and stuff and all. But I like to tell married couples this a lot, like, don't hide from your failures. Be transparent. You know why? Because we're all the same. Watch this video right here.
Wake up. It's Sunday. We gotta get ready for church. Brian! Brian! Wake up, honey! Brian, get up. Okay, I'm gonna hop in the shower real quick. You get the kids ready, and then we'll get going.
No. Okay. Hey, what? You just lay out their clothes, because it takes me 5 minutes.
Honey.
That's perfect.
Seriously.
Jack, well, we're already late for church.
Here hey, Brian.
Get yourself dressed.
Did you pick up my stuff from the dry cleaners?
Make it, break it. Make it, break it. Make it, break it.
Okay, Jack, I'm gonna make you waffles.
Can I have a sandwich?
Yes, but you gotta make it by yourself. Jack! Okay.
This is all I could find, and the zipper's broken.
All right, I'll go grab a safety pin.
I have the high score!
Hannah, what are you doing?
Daddy, I'm painting your fingernails.
Well, that's great, sweetie, but go get dressed.
I need you to stay still,
okay?
Honey. Hannah!
Come on, let's go!
Okay, everybody needs to eat. Here you go.
I need one.
Here you go. Okay, here you go.
I forgot my shoes.
Honey, we gotta go back.
No.
Here you go.
I wanna take off my shoes.
Nobody's taking off their shoes. And I want everybody to understand that we're what?
We made it.
Yep.
I like to say, me and my wife probably had some of our better arguments on the way to church. And then we get there and you're like, all right, we got to go in here. Let's do this. But a little bit of humor about the family, right? There's no perfect family. But I would like to think we're all trying. I'm going to read two verses in close. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what we've been called to do as parents. And then there's some unique words from Paul to Timothy that are probably not the best words to close on, but listen to this. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's what God thinks of the family, right? So there's something that's about the family that we live in a world today that's trying to reinvent that, redesign that, redefine that, but God's already defined it. It's a simple process. It takes a strong man and a strong woman that create beautiful children and raise them up to know the Lord. And then you know what they'll do? They'll get married and they'll grow up and they'll procreate and they'll have children and they'll raise them up to know the Lord. But sometimes it doesn't work out, right? We get caught up in sin and infidelity and divorce and all these things. But here's the unique thing about the God that designed the family. He's also a God of grace and mercy and hope, right? And we have to remember that when we fall short of being who he's called us to be, as mothers, as fathers, as children, that God forgives us. He wants us to stay online and being on course with his design as a family. And when we do that, I believe you have a whole lot more fun navigating through some of your rough or hard times as a family. and you can enjoy one another. So think about that as you go through your day. The family is special to God. It's special to the people that run this place because family matters. And as believers, we're all part of the family and the kingdom of God. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for our time and for the family. We know, God, Lord, without your design of the whole idea, the process of what it means to be a man and a woman, none of us would even be here. And so, God, we're grateful for family. God, I know I'm grateful for my own parents. I'm grateful for my wife and my children. And so, God, I thank you for the blessing of that. I pray over this group for their families that you continue to protect them and guide them, especially if they're parents and trying to raise up children. And so, God, help us to navigate this and continue to love and be the families you've called us to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.